Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the VFN radio program, and joining us in the extra hour, my name is John Ramos, and with me is Pat and Chris.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Chris, you're still out there. Where are you?
I am here, my brother.
There he is. There he is. Well, listen, we had such a great first hour rethinking church. My goodness, there's so much to say, so little time, but this is a conversation. So we're going to be revisiting rethinking church from time to time, and we're going to let us get to the place where we need to be, because my goodness, we love the church.
Yes,
we love
do.
The church. Right. But you know, in the extra hour, don't forget to catch us, by the way, on the marathon weekend, this weekend. That's back to back VFN radio all week. And my goodness, it's my favorite. I hit play and go about the weekend, you know, but I get it all at one time.
All weekend long.
That's right. Well, we're gonna talk about just like in the days of Noah. You know, my goodness. Just like in the days of Noah, people were carrying on with life and conducting business and marrying and hanging out and doing all the things they were doing, all the while they were in darkness, living in sin, rebellion towards God, and God was about to judge the world. I mean, that's something.
You're
doing all of this stuff and don't even know that judgment is knocking at your door. And you know what? So it is today. I mean, look at the darkness that's happening. And we have to wake up. We can't close our eyes. We can't fall asleep. We can't make pretend that doesn't exist. And we can't say that this is normal.
Right.
This is not normal.
Mm-mm.
This is not normal. God is not winking at any of this stuff. And it's important that we search our hearts and that we continue to share the good news. Well, we want to talk about we want to hear this segment. We want to come back and we want to talk about it some more, but just like in the days of Noah.
Because he said, you know, it's going to be in the last days, you know, before the Lord, when the Lord returns, it's going to be just like the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like the days of Lot, which means this, that you can't use society as a grid for righteousness.
Right.
You can't look at people and decide where you are in God, because in Noah's day, everybody but him and his family, means more people are going to be against God than for God. And it's really interesting because he says people will be marrying and doing business and all these different things. But understanding that God's created each of us to have our own operating system, that we can choose to submit that operating system to God through his son, Jesus Christ, or we can take it ourselves and do what we want to with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means then we can function in life and look just like other people, but we are our own God, or we're worshiping something else other than God. And you can't think just because somebody's doing business or somebody's getting married that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered, I was just recently thinking, you know, can you imagine all this stuff is going on, the Lord's about to return, and you look around, and when you look around, if you just kind of put yourself the days of Noah, what it's going to be like at any moment when the Lord returns in a twinkling of an eye, that if you looked around and saw, what you'd be seeing is people just going about their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be...
like nothing's going on, everything is normal.
Yeah. They'll be, you know, talking about their most recent reality program. They'll be talking about, you know, this is my checkoff list for the spouse that I want to marry. You know, and somebody else is talking about their business ideas or advancing their whatever. And then you'll have just things that God says is wrong mm-hmm. that separates mankind from him, which is sin, will be normal. They won't look at it as like, this is terrible. It'll be integrated into the lifestyle to the point is that wrong looks right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right is called wrong.
Right.
And so you'll be an oddball. You will look strange. You know, you'll look like Noah building an ark. What are you doing? Because most people aren't even thinking about it. They're not mm-hmm. even thinking about the Lord's return.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at what's going on and how quickly, I mean, the issue with the progression of things is God chose to give mankind authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so men have to buy into and choose to surrender their authority to something
mm-hmm.
or someone or themselves or to God. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get them. That's why they spend billions of dollars in elections in America, because they're trying to get you to buy in and vote for their particular candidate.
Right.
They know they can't get in office unless you buy in. But if they can get you to buy in, then get in office. They have to involve you in the process. Even mm-hmm. kings, even dictators know this, because they know, I mean, why would any dictator try to make their people happy? Because they know if enough people's against them, they won't be around long.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to get people to buy in. Like you look at Chavez down in Venezuela. I mean, he has a socialism type thing going, but he's realizing, you know, people have to buy in. They have to buy into his leadership. Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, God asks us and introduces his kingdom to us, but we have to say, I'm surrendering my authority to you. I'm buying in. I'm sold out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my operating system. I know it's going to take a while to reprogram me, you know, and transform me, you know, but here I am. You're my Lord. You're my God. Well, Satan has to do the same thing too. Satan has to get people to buy in. You know, but the thing about, you know, Satan is divided amongst himself
mm-hmm.
and normally people that are held captive by, at the adversary, it's tough for him because they're in it for their own reasons. So they'll eventually be divided from even Satan's plans. I mean, there's always this division and strife and all that. So he has to get enough of them to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he could just flip a switch, and then evilness would just be rampant across the world. But he can't. He has to first preach his gospel and broadcast his imagery and present his idea, socialism, Marxism, communism. You know, government can be your God and these different things, and we'll replace all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the church, if we, which is people, if we're not broadcasting the kingdom of God, if we're not speaking about the light and telling people that they need to turn their operating system over to light, to Jesus Christ, then darkness wins out.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness wins out. It's not like there's no default here. I mean, yeah, or the default's sin and darkness,
mm-hmm.
but Satan has to get mankind to buy into his dark schemes, and God will not force you to buy in or to invest in or surrender yourself to him. He waits for you to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
And people will love to be forced. They're like, just tell me what to do. Okay, go seek God and decide.
Yeah.
No. Well, how do I go? You need to find God. And you need to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what he said. He said, go abide with him, hear his voice, and follow him.
Right.
Right. I'll just follow you. No, you follow God. And the fact that we're both following God, we will be together.
That's right.
That will unite us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's a difficult thing for religion to do. And so you have this battle going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And we have to decide as a church, are we going to be the light of the world? Or are we going to let darkness just reign?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thing called the Dark Ages. They talk about the Ice Ages. Well, think about the Dark Ages.
Right.
That's when the church just kind of surrendered over to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you that during this time, you know, make sure that your operating system, make sure your heart is just surrendered to God, and realize you got to get discipled and which means you got to know what Jesus says in his teachings, and you got to abide with him, because if you abide with him, he will give you by his Spirit the power to walk out what you couldn't do in the first place. And then you go tell people about Jesus. We're going to talk about in the next half hour about, you know, rethinking church, you know, rethinking it. And what happened, we're going to talk about, is that the church has been institutionalized.
Mm.
It's been institutionalized, and it does not know how to function outside the institution.
Mm.
And it's terrified. It's terrified. Mm. And it just rather stay in captivity because it knows how things operate there than to go out where there's lions, tigers, and bears. Or what Jesus said, that watch out for men.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kill you.
Right?
He says, be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. I'm right. sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. And so somebody says, well, I can't go outside the institution because there's wolves out there. And Jesus said, no, I'm sending you out. And so we're going to talk about, you know, rethinking church. But I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, begin to believe God that you, that to obey the Great Commission to being light in this darkness. Begin to realize people have to buy in. They have to decide to follow light. They have to decide to follow the kingdom of light and follow Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, we're to be the light of the world. So that is our responsibility. That's how light comes into the world. It comes from within you and it comes out of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. If you want to spread the kingdom of God, you got to be spread. If you want light to be in the world, the light has to come out of you as a believer. And if you just have an undiscipled walk in God, then you have a seed of the kingdom in you. But if you have a discipled walk with God, then you have the kingdom growing inside of you and overtaking your life. And you're set free, by the way, when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you this morning. Realize that there is a battle plan. It's a spiritual battle plan, and you are a soldier in that battle plan. If you're a believer, you're not called to keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results and firing the next preacher man because he didn't do what you were supposed to do. It's time for you to realize that the fivefold ministries is there to train you up to do works of service. You've only been institutionalized. That's all. You've been in captivity. But it's time for you to be set free.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Just like in the days of Noah. Pat, Chris, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. I mean, there's so much evil that's going on right now that people are actually calling wrong right and
right wrong. Isn't that something?
And all the while, many in the church just falling asleep. I mean, it's almost like just going along with it.
Right.
And you got to think about it. It's like, wait a second. We are in a spiritual battle.
That's right.
And if you're a defender of the light, you know, if you're bringing the hope and the glory of Jesus Christ, you can't fall asleep.
Mm-mm.
Because evil will come and overtake. I mean, if you're done.
That's right.
You're done. You know, we need to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be activated. We need to be about being in the harvest and reaching out to those that are lost. No matter what it looks like, are we willing? You know, I think about, my goodness, your life has to count for something.
That's right.
Is Jesus not enough? And listen, I'm encouraged. You know, I can see a spiritual army in the horizon, man. I can see the harvesters arising, but it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us that have a burden for God, for the lost, and to say, wait a minute, I'm no longer going to be part of the status quo. I'm not going to close my eyes. I'm not going to just give up and say, you know what? Evil is everywhere. You can't get away from it. I'm just not going to wait until the Lord just comes back and say, oh, those sinners, we'll just keep on going. And no, come on. Give me a break, right?
Right.
We gotta move in the love of God. Step out in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Share the good news and warn others and say, listen, there is a better way. It's the only way. Come to the Father.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important
to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN radio and VFN TV, but we even have more available for them, mm-hmm. you know, and what it is you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. you go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things is just everything. Everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber.
John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that, that little video clip of that guy running during that slow-mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, chick, and it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
What did you confuse it, Pat?
What movie was that?
It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay,
right.
But what I will tell you about marathon. Okay.
What do you know?
BFN Radio is available on the Marathon Weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back to seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things, because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to mm-hmm. work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be mm-hmm. a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like, slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's this southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
yeah,
slap your
mama. Probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a Southern way of doing things.
That's a Southern saying. That's what you do.
Shoo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's ribs,
actually. He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Wasabi.
Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read that. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
Oh, my goodness. That was hilarious. You know what, John? He actually has eaten that entire bottle of hot sauce.
Are you kidding me?
Can you believe
me?
That? He could not wait. He said he puts it on everything. He puts it on his eggs. He puts it in his cereal. Oh, he puts
cereal?
Well, no, not cereal, but he puts it on everything. He said it is so good.
I'm concerned about y'all. See, you notice I didn't say a word about
that. Yeah, you kept pretty quiet during that. Yeah.
That slap your mama, Chris. I mean, what
I know.
Is
I was shocked, man.
What is that foolishness?
I mean, I didn't make it up. Come on.
Call me crazy, but I just like to taste my food. There's something about my, you know, my tongue and tonsils being on fire that just, it just kind of nullifies the taste there. But, you know, I guess, hey, whatever works, whatever works.
Yeah, I just like a little heat. That's all.
Yeah, a little.
Little heat.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we are coming to the end of the extra hour. But before we do, we'd like to get in the wisdom moment. I want to share the wisdom moment with you today because, you know, we need wisdom. There's a proper application of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a whole bunch of knowledge, but my goodness, you need some wisdom.
Yes, definitely.
If you could only have one, please choose wisdom. If you could only have one. But, you know, the wisdom moment for today is in Proverbs 9. It's about... A mocker or a wise person. You'll find out which one is which when you have to talk with them and share some wisdom and some correction. But, you know, just can listen up.
Today is the, 9th, right? It's the 9th of the month. And we always do the corresponding word for wisdom from Proverbs. So if it's the 9th of the month, we look at the 9th chapter of Proverbs. And today we're going to pick a couple verses out of that, which is very... important. I think it's pretty relevant, you know, when I think about it, that in Proverbs chapter 7 through 9, we just want to get some wisdom in our lives. You know, wisdom's so important. Just like David said, when he's reading the wisdom of Proverbs, he's going, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good. You know, and wisdom just keeps you. So Proverbs 9,
right?
Chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. Thank you. That was wonderful. Totally wonderful. Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 7 through 9 reads, this is our wisdom moment for today. Whoever corrects a mocker, this is so important, listen to this. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse.
Mm.
Right?
Wow.
And I was like,
that's
wow.
The truth.
And, right. I think I just got insulted. I just incurred abuse. That must mean I'm talking to a mocker. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know until you in that encounter. So he says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. But listen to this. It goes on to say in verse 8, do not rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. He'll hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you don't know which one they are until you bring correction.
That's right.
That explains a lot.
It explains an awful lot. It's like, okay. You're loving me for it, so that means you're wise, and you're hating me for it, that means you're a
mocker,
right?
Okay.
So then, and who wants to do it anyway, right?
I know.
Then verse 9 says, instruct a wise man and he'll be wiser still. Mm. Wise people like, no, tell me, I want to know, give me some feedback. I mean, if it's a good source, you know, you mm-hmm. don't. But you say, yeah, I want to know what is it like to you? What I want to know, because a wise person's willing to learn. They're just a person that understands that you're forever learning. And he says, teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. That's good.
Mm.
You mm-hmm. know, a mocker, a fool, just goes, I already know it all already. I don't need to know anything. A right. wise man says, come on, no, tell me. You want to know.
Please, tell me.
Oh, I need to know.
Where do you get that book at? So you think about it. The wisdom moment for today is whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. You know, and quite often, you know, you are made to look like the mocker by the mocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the truth is you were just loving on someone. Mm. You know, you were loving on them. You wanted things good for them, but they just wouldn't listen. And whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Well, realize that sometimes you don't know what's there until you share, you know, what God has on your heart to be able to share at the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, you know, there's lots of love or lots of abuse and insult,
right.
You know. And it's amazing. Discipline's been so messed up today in the church that even ministers who you know, preach from the Word of God, they can't, it's just they feel like they just can't be open to learn something.
Right.
You know, they can't be open to say it was right for a season, but I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Ken says this, my spiritual father, Ken Summary, writes in his book, Flexible Wineskins. I don't know if I have that book here or not, but in there he says, listen, I hope those that are related to me, those who know that you know what brought him to the place that it brought him to, he's saying that if this thing starts happening that way and it's totally a sectarian type ruler, what we call today tradition,
right.
You know, that I'd hope you'd break free. I'd hope you just go do like I did,
right.
You know, and we have to understand that every one of us has to be open. If you're really open for correction, then you're very careful how you give it. Because you know that you can be wrong, and you have to be open for that.
But a foolish man defends what he knows, and a wise man is willing to grow.
Oh, that's good. Say that again.
A foolish man defends what he knows, but a wise man is willing to grow.
Well, that's
where have we come to this place where we have to hold on because this way God moved before? This is what happened. We just hold on to this instead of putting everything, every situation before the Lord.
Well, think about this. I was talking to someone,
right,
and a leader person, and I so, you know me, I'm wanting you to make it.
Right.
I'm wanting you to make it. I'm really wanting you to make it here. You know, I'm honoring you. You know, I'm praying for you, been praying for you.
Loving on you.
Loving on you. I'm only here because I have a fear of the Lord. And I had, you know, a prophetic leading of what's going to be happening in America, you know, from what we're hearing, kind of put together and just kind of share so that they could be prepared for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in this meeting, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't listen to nothing.
Mm-mm.
Not one thing.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
And so finally, I just had to go, well, you're not going to receive it.
Right.
And so I had to reach back and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's what happened.
And it was love. It was like, don't you want to know? Don't you want to learn? Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to know what's about to happen? Do you really know it all?
Right.
Do you? Is God not real? Do you not fear the Lord? Do you fear man? Then you more. You know, I'm talking about believers. You know, people who profess to be Christians. I'm talking about the world. We're not talking. Never is VFN Radio for the world. VFN Radio is for the church, which are believers, not buildings or organizations. Mm-hmm. It is for the one who's gone astray, and it's for the one who's being drawn to the Lord. This is who we're always talking to. So if you profess to be a believer, you know, I'm talking in that context of that.
Right.
And mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't want to hear what God, what somebody may perceive that God's saying.
Right.
Hundreds of people are perceiving what God's saying. Then that's a dangerous situation. That's a mocker. That's right. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, and whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, he'll hate you, but rebuke a wise man. And a rebuke is not like a, you know, it's just saying that's not right.
Right.
You know? Not like at
the mocker is a person who's just prideful. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Right.
And a humble person is going to say, hey, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
It's like pride is a scary thing because it's so blinding, you know, where all of a sudden you begin to believe your own hype. You believe everything they tell you, and everything that comes across your mind is absolutely perfect and right.
Right.
And that's, you know, another reason why it's so important to be abiding and spending time with the Lord. You know, the Word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart and says, you know what? I need to run this by the Lord. I need to run this by wise counsel.
And sometimes, you know, we can be deceived by thinking because I have a lot of people that are supporting me, then I'm right, you know, especially in the political atmosphere.
Right.
But Jim Baker wrote a book. What was the name of his book?
I was wrong.
Because that's what happened to him. Everybody told him what they thought he wanted to hear, and they didn't tell him the truth.
Great book.
And understanding that you can put people around you that are telling you things, you know, that make you feel good, but you want a wise person wants people around them that tells them the truth. And you'll notice a mocker will avoid, you know, Ahab was a mocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ahab did not. He hated Elijah. Right? He's like, here he comes again, you know. Here he comes again. He's going to tell me. I know, you know, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
He never prophesies anything good
about me. You don't know. It's like.
Still doing something bad.
Yeah, just tell me something good. Well, you can buy those up the street, but, you know. And so, you know, I think Baal's up the street somewhere, right? Anyway, yeah. Balaam, I meant. And so. Bells up the other street.
Right.
And, but Ahab, that's what he felt like. He's like, you know, the thing about it is when God's talking to us, he's loving on us. He's letting us know that, hey, you know, if we go the direction God's saying, he's going to bless us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But a mocker doesn't understand that. A mocker is just trying to defend themselves, not realizing that, you know, but a wise man's going, thank you. I never saw it from that perspective. I mean, even if you don't agree with it, at least you're listening. You know, perception is reality to people. I mean, people will lock in to what they perceive to be real, and they will lock their faith into it, and next thing you know, you're just stuck with their perception. And so you have to understand, help people in their realities, you know, what's going on right there. But today's a wisdom moment, and the big question is that if you know it, if the person is struggling with a mocking spirit, if you know that the person's, you know, prideful, and do you bring correction? Well, the thing about it is that you don't necessarily know. You still have to talk about God. You can't just shut down. I mean, you could have a mocker in your family. You could have a mocker in your marriage. You could have a mocker in your workplace. You could be a business owner or a governmental leader that has mockers in your organization, in your government institutional, and you have to deal with that. You can't just let that go. You can't say, okay, we correct everybody but the mocker, and that's what normally happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't say anything to the mocker
because they swell up.
They abuse them. They're gonna talk bad about them. They're gonna do all these things, and everybody else is gonna suffer the consequences of a fool because the leader will not deal with a mocker. The thing is, you got to be willing to deal with insult and abuse to be a leader.
Right.
You're gonna have to be willing that everybody's not gonna be, you know, your friend. You know, mockers are not gonna go woohoo. I mean, even when we're going through discipline, we're not like, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, may I have 30 more? It ain't like that. But we come out of that. You know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. But the thing about it is, if your workplace is all over the map and you're not dealing with that mocker in your office, everybody just cringes with that. And they see that and they're suffering the abuse of that. If you're not dealing with the mocker in your household, this is what the proverb says. When the mocker leaves, when the mocker's present, strife is there. Mm-hmm. But when the mocker leaves, peace is present.
Right.
So, I mean, don't you want peace in your organization? Don't you want peace in your family? Somebody says, the mocker goes, I'm out of here. It's like, okay, where do you pack your stuff at? Where do you need to go?
Let me help you with that box. Come here.
I'm telling you, no doubt. Okay, I got your things packed up in a little shoebox right here. And then just peace comes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just peace comes. You know, and we have to replace, you know, we have to place these mindsets and realize, you know, we have to deal with that because we want wise leaders, wise parents, wise bosses, wise, you know, governmental leaders that don't have, they're not strifeful, they're not, you know, insulting, they're not, you know, all those different things that come with it. And it sounds like a Jezebel spirit to me.
Yeah. I've seen it in the workplace, you know, where there's this one person that has that spirit on them and people begin to rally around that person. It just jumps all over the place. But as soon as that one person is no longer there and is removed, it's amazing the peace that settles down. It's like, oh my goodness, that thing was so strong on this one person. You know, what they're really contending with themselves or contending with the truth is like, well, once they're removed, it's like that log jam. You know, that if you take that one log out, the rest of the logs will flow down the river.
You know, the big thing is that I think about the book by Dr. Cloud, Henry Cloud. He wrote, he surveyed like for 20 years, all these different chief executive officers. He's a Christian, but he surveyed them and learned things from them. And it's called Integrity. The book's called Integrity, the courage to face the demands of reality. And he talks about that this one CEO had the sales force. And in the sales force, they had this one particular man who could sell, you know, sand to the ocean. You know what I'm saying? He could just sell anything. You know, he just could sell anything, which means he increased the bottom line of the business.
Right.
But yet he was horrific when it came to dealing with the people that was the other employees and the ones that supported him, because nobody can, in a business, it takes all the parts to be able to function. And they were constantly being hurt by this person.
Right.
But yet the CEO needed to have, the whole thing's about integrity. Did he have the courage to face the demands of reality? Was he willing to change his bottom line of his business to a lower number to be able to satisfy the reality of what this guy? Because sometimes you can be good at a task and sometimes you can be good at relationships. But with God, you got to be good at both. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to love people on the way to where you're going and what you're doing. Both of those things. It's called a wake. We need to talk about that in the future. But and the wake doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. And so you can look. You can look at somebody. You think about, let's just stay this for a moment because we're talking about a mocker. This is a wake. When you're sitting on a boat and the boat is going through the water and you're sitting on the back of the boat, which I think is called the fantail or the aft of a boat, and you're looking where the shape of the water when you're pulling away. You're going through the water, so you're leaving a mark in the water, if you have a temporary little marker shape. And it actually is identical. It's identical to the shape of the boat. So if it's a big boat, it's the shape of the boat. Mm-hmm. And they call it the wake. It's making a wake. Mm-hmm. And the wakes don't lie. Mm-hmm. They just don't lie. And you look at the wake and you know the shape of the boat.
Right.
And so with that, one, think about it, there's two sides to awake, right? You got one side and the other side. Mm-hmm. One side is relationships and one side is task. And if somebody's good with relationships, but they're not good with tasks, that is so, you know, they're like, I really like them, but nothing's getting done.
Right.
Right.
You know, I like them, but we're starving and nobody's working, you know, mm-hmm. I like them, you know, but then you have the others that are good just at task, but then I get a relationship. I mean, you cringe in their presence, but you know, they're going to do the job mm-hmm. and they pride themselves. Look at my numbers. You know, I'm doing, look at the bottom line of the company.
Right.
And they say, I don't need to get along with so-and-so. Look, did you see this? I just made a big sell.
That's right.
Right. But the wake has two sides. Everybody has a wake. And this is what Dr. Henry Cloud says, you know, that the wake doesn't lie, that one side of the wake is relationship and one side is task, you know, and you can say what you want to, but everybody knows your wake. And when you go through the waters of life and you look behind you, and if one side of the paradigm, the relationship side, you have all these offended people, all these hurt people, you know, you cannot point at the other side of the task and say everything's okay.
Right.
Because that CEO had to come to the office and he had to decide, am I just going to go in for the bottom line here? Because his staff, his employees came to him and said, if you do not get rid of this person, this is what they said. If you don't get rid of this person, we're leaving you. And he was trying to study in this book, why do businesses end up the way they do? Why have we made so many mistakes and we made a ton of them? And it happens even in the church, even in the father's business in the church, where the church says if somebody's good at tasks, but they're not good at relationship. That is a big warning sign that you need to set that person down, because task means nothing if there's no relationship. Because, you know, the word of God says if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. You know, right. It just boils down to it.
See, doing something for God that you're messing up the relationship with God, the person right. You're supposed to be ministering to.
Right.
You know? I like what Cloud says in that book as well. Said, are they enjoying your wake and skiing and having fun on the back of it? Or is your wake so choppy that they become shark bait because they're bouncing all over?
Yeah. Right. And you'll find out, you know, where it's tension between the two.
Right.
Because to be able to have good relationships, sometimes you have to make less money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just throw people on the fire of your success. And that happens all the time, you know. And you can't just throw tasks on the relationship. So you got to take care of the mundane things. You got to balance that. And it causes a person to cry out to God. It causes a person to say, I have to provide for my family. You know, but I cannot just forego a relationship with my family while I'm providing for them.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding this, that, you know, the wake does not lie. I mean, if you have not read, I think the church needs to read Dr. Henry Cloud's book. Make sure we put that up on the VFN TV blog. But you got to read this book, because it's a study of the actual happenings of CEOs in our country. And the title of the book is Integrity, the Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. And this is the question for us today, you know, is as we're coming to an end of the wisdom moment here, is do we have the integrity to do what reality demands from us right now? Because America is facing a time right now where the church is going to have to repent. We're going to have to, even though we look like contradictions in the beginning, when we start doing what's right, because we were just doing what was wrong,
right.
We have to let them know the only one as good as God anyway. Jesus said, who are you calling good? And we're preaching our gospel. It's his gospel. And our only hope is God. And so we begin to say, I'm going to work on my relationships. I'm going to work on my task. And I'm going to repent for being a mocker. And I want to be a wise person. And I want to receive a multitude of counsel in this. And I mean, it's just hard to honor a fool, you know, and understand that we need to be able to humble ourselves, and we got to be able to know that if we are a parent, if we are a leader in an industry, if we are a governmental leader, for example, God has allowed that. And God will honor that, you know, if we humble ourselves and we just say, you know, God, I want to do it your way. I don't want to be a mocker. I don't want to be insulting people. I don't want to be, you know, all those things that come with being a mocker. I don't want to, you know, abuse people or abuse my power as a parent, as a business owner, as a governmental leader. I just want to be wise. I want to learn, you know, mm-hmm. I want to grow. And just like God, you know, when I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me, you know, God will forgive you and he'll surprise you. You know, mm-hmm. he's very good. He's very merciful. And he's very loving. Totally 100% awesome. That's the wisdom moment for today. That's Proverbs 9, chapter 7 through 9, chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Instruct a wise man and he will even be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. I tell you one thing. I sure don't want to be no mocker.
No.
I want to be a righteous man.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, by the grace of God.
Have you been around a mocker before?
Yes.
Yes.
You ever try to talk to one?
Yes.
It's almost impossible.
It's horrific.
Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible.
It's horrific. It's just like, okay, I'm finished.
Yeah. It's just like,
you know?
It's not landing, is it? It's not landing, mm-hmm. is it?
Nope.
It just kind of bounces right off. And mm-hmm. the thing is that, you know, praise God that there's somebody even willing to even address it. You know what I'm saying? Praise
yeah,
God.
Right, exactly.
Willing to go there. Because mm-hmm. most people don't. They just, you know, there's no love. I mean,
right.
The love in the last days, love in the bride is going to grow cold. And it's like, oh my goodness, we were warned of this. And it's like, only love is it's what allows someone to say, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Because of this very thing, the mm-hmm. very thing, the mocker will wind up just blasting you
mm-hmm.
and you suffer abuse for standing in the gap. And I love what he says. I mean, this is what you call wisdom. This is what you call proper application of knowledge. This is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. the Bible coming alive in your everyday life. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? When he just says, you don't close your eyes, although you may have that situation with a mocker, you mm-hmm. still have to address it.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to talk to him.
Oh.
You still got to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That just reminds me of a situation that you know, I had just this particular person that, you know, that I went to minister to because the way he was living his life and the way he was,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was just always like a constant battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was like no matter what I said, it was just a complete argument. And, you know, by the time, you know, I finished, it was like I felt beat up.
Yeah. It feels like a fist fight.
It did, you know, and it's true what the proverb says is true, you know, and I just totally felt beat up. Mm-hmm. But because I knew that I didn't want his blood to be on my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, I went back again
mm-hmm.
and to continue to minister to him, say, well, this is what Jesus says about this. You know, right. This is what the word of God says about this,
right.
you know,
right.
And, you know, I just, mm-hmm. that's what I knew I had to do.
That's good. It's very good.
That's so awesome. We just got to remember that's important that we don't want to be a mocker.
No.
We want to be a righteous person.
That's right.
And we want to have good integrity. We want to have the courage to meet right. the demands of reality.
Right. And be able to handle correction. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Amen.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.